What is prayer?
Why do you pray?
I would like to first off say, I chose this topic without even taking into consideration that we are starting a prayer revival on Tuesday. It actually came to me this morning, and I remember on Tuesday we're starting our prayer revival. So I guess you could say, if you want to be of this opinion, that God made me choose this. And I've been really working on my prayer life lately to get it to where it should be.
Yeah. Right.
I know we can always attain more.
Absolutely.
But there's a bare minimum, and I'd like to be substantially higher than that bare minimum. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
So I would like to start off with a poem. And I know, again, this is a little bit different, but it says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. The motion of a hidden fire, that trembles in the heart. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward gleaming of an eye, when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infants' lips can try. Prayer is the sublimest strain that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gates of death, he enters heaven by prayer. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice, returning from his ways while angels rejoice and say, behold, he prays, the saints in prayer appear as one, in word, in deed, in mind, with Jesus Christ his fellowship they find. No prayer is made on earth alone, the Holy Spirit pleads, and Jesus on the eternal throne for sinners intercedes. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hath trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's my desire this morning, is Lord, teach me to pray. Prayer is one of the highest callings and highest privileges afforded to us as saints of God. And it don't matter whether you're just starting out on this walk or whether you've been a saint of God for 20, 30 years.
Right.
It is the desire of God that we pray.
Right.
Amen. Yes.
So since God's people are always praying, we would do well to know what prayer is and why we should do it.
Right.
And then be able to share this with other people. You know, I do construction work, and I have a 20-foot trailer, and I have every tool that you could ever imagine somewhere in that trailer. You may not be able to find it, but if you give me enough time, I can pull it out and show it to you and show you how to use it. And that's a lot of how I want my walk with God to be.
Oh, yes.
That I can reach into my life anywhere and pull out a tool that I can say, you know what? This is how you can be saved. This is something that'll help you. This is something that's going to make being saved easier.
Yeah, right.
God's house has been designed as a house of prayer. His word is filled with many and varied prayers emanating from both the righteous and the wicked. God is a prayer-answering God. Amen?
Amen.
His word instructs us to offer prayers to him. And since that's the case, the question, once again, is, what is prayer? So, we need to kind of dive in here, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to have everybody turn to them. I'm going to try to go through some of this quickly. That way we're not wasting precious time. But I am going to be a little bit more lengthy than normal, which, okay, that may be like 20 minutes, but we'll put it that way. Life's greatest privilege and right is to pray. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter the oppressive government that somebody may live under. There's, and I've heard stories about in Vietnam and in China, how they have to hide to have church. But they're in their house, they have the right to pray.
Amen.
Although the government may say they don't, they still have that right.
Right.
The power resides in the spoken name of Jesus Christ. Does everybody believe that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Prayer is the offering of thanksgiving, needs and desires to God in faith, with the petition being in harmony with the teaching of God's word concerning prayer. Our most sincere prayer should be, Lord, teach us to pray.
Teach.
I don't believe that if you pray for God to strike down your enemy dead and kill him, I don't believe that's necessarily God's will. So that's one of those prayers that would not necessarily be in the divine order of God. But if we are praying according to God's will, God's going to answer. Amen? Do we need to pray? I'm sure everybody says unanimously, yes, we need to pray. But if there's any doubt in anybody's heart, first off, you have to believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God. If you don't believe that, we're wasting your time and there's no need for you to be here. But I believe the Bible is the infallible word of God. Therefore, in the Bible, in 1 Timothy 2 and 8 says, I will therefore that men everywhere, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Luke 18 and 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to stop, not to give up. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, a very familiar one, pray without ceasing. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and 16. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 12 and 12. But the end, and then 1 Peter 4 and 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then my last one here, Jude 20, be but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. God gives us many examples, one right after the other, in so many ways. And in the New Testament, Jesus, he didn't pray as God. And he prayed as a genuine man, genuine flesh, as our example to teach us to pray. In Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as it says in Colossians 2 and 9. This was not one God praying to another, but the man Jesus Christ praying to the Spirit.
Amen.
And he set a pattern for us to follow after.
Right.
To pray in like manner. Not necessarily repeat word for word, and we'll get into that, but to say something or to pray in the likeness that he prayed. My next bullet point here is special prayer requests. And This could probably be retitled as the Lord's Prayer Request, or the Lord's desire of us and how we should pray. So, the Lord, what does the Lord want us to pray about? There's a number of things. Out of obedience and courtesy to the Lord, we need to fulfill His requests. Amen?
Amen.
Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Matthew 9:38. And Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and shall stand before the Son of Man. This says right here that prayer is a salvation issue. Without prayer, you're not going to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
James 5:16, confess your faults. It says, confess your faults. Don't seek out the faults of others. But confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. So prayer is for healing. Does anybody believe that?
Amen. Amen.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I notice this in my personal life, that the more I pray, the easier it is to resist things.
Yeah, right.
The less I pray, the same is true.
Yeah.
Right.
So when we don't pray, we are more susceptible to enter into that temptation that this verse is talking about.
Right.
1 Timothy 2:1-2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life.
Amen.
In all godliness and honesty.
Right.
You know, whether you agree with the current government or whether you don't, or whether you have agreed or disagreed with past people in authority, we always need to pray for them.
Amen.
For this reason here, if none other, that we can live peaceably.
Right.
That we're not persecuted.
Right.
And that we can live a life that is easier to serve God.
Amen.
Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Yeah, right.
Now this is a rough one. So you might have to pray a little bit more on this one than some of the others. Because when somebody does me wrong, it's automatically human nature for me to get back.
Right.
I got to get them back. They deserve their punishment.
Right.
And like I mentioned, you can pray if you want for God to punish them. But that's not in according to the will of God,
right,
as it says right here. But pray for them. Yeah. Pray that God will help them.
Right. That's the truth.
And do good to them.
First Corinthians 14:13,
wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Anyone whom God uses in the church service through the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues to address the congregation should pray for the spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on this because that would bring me on a totally different path, let alone a rabbit trail. But, in this instance, I'll put it as bluntly as possible, you better be in God's will.
Amen.
And that's not to scare anybody away from being used of the Holy Ghost,
right,
but it's to be careful,
right,
to be right.
Right.
and to know that you're in God's will. These specific instructions on what to pray for and about, our personal needs along with the above. Of course, I don't need to mention our personal needs because that's usually in the forefront of our mind. We're usually always thinking about what I need and what I could use and what would make my life easier and what would make my life better. But let's remember these other things mentioned. The extent of prayer. Prayer is far-reaching and enables us to go into areas impenetrable by other forces. We can scale spiritual heights through prayer. Three words that I come across is practice, prevail, and persevere until you achieve and attain what God has promised. God can make you go higher and further than you ever imagined in Him through prayer.
Hallelujah.
We can come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Through prayer, we seek first the kingdom of God rather than other things. Matthew 6:33. We should persevere in our praying. Notice in Daniel, just because he was threatened didn't mean he wasn't going to persevere.
Right.
And in the face of all adversity, he continued to pray and to pray openly. Even when he was threatened that he was going to be thrown into a den of lions, he continued. He didn't go hide in the corner, but he opened his window, as he should have, and prayed where he could be seen. Repentance takes place through prayer and causes the angels in heaven to rejoice. Luke 15:7. Prayer does not necessarily complete our repentance. We do have to repent in the aspect of turning away. We can't just go into prayer and say, I'm sorry for what I've done, and then go back the next day. I understand we all fail. We all have those weak moments that something that we've repented over, and we inevitably may turn back, but then go back and repent. That's the beauty of serving a merciful God. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer may also include praying in an unknown tongue, as I mentioned. Not all praying is done in this manner. Some is to be done with understanding. That is, in our native English language. I do understand that some, their native language may be Spanish, and that's perfectly fine too. But as it says in Luke, it is not edifying. I believe it's Luke, sorry. Somewhere. I don't have it right in front of me. That it is not edifying to the body for us to speak in tongues continually.
Right.
That the body or the church can hear that we're praying, not just spouting off something that makes no sense to anybody. Mm-hmm. However, speaking in tongues may be very edifying in your personal life. I know when the Holy Ghost takes over that it is very, I'm not usually praying for somebody else to be edified when I'm speaking in tongues. But yet it's for my own personal walk with God.
Right.
We present our bodies a living sacrifice through prayer. That's Romans 12:1-2. Here we find, pursue, and understand the will of God for our individual lives. This means that when it says present our body a living sacrifice, that means we are presenting everything we have to God. We are sacrificing our time, our money,
yes.
our effort,
yes.
everything we have, we are sacrificing in prayer.
Right.
Yes.
When taking upon the whole armor of God, we are also enjoined to pray, and that's in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. This armor cannot be supplied to us or appropriated through us without prayer. And I know, actually, in Sunday school this morning, they're teaching about the armor of God. But you don't gain the breastplate of righteousness without prayer.
Right.
Hallelujah.
You don't gain the helmet of salvation, as I mentioned before. You can't be saved without prayer.
Right.
Amen.
And in prayer, we learn to walk in the Spirit and conquer the flesh.
Amen.
There's a few words I know I've probably mentioned some of them already. I just want to give a few definitions. First one is petition. An appeal to authority with respect to a particular cause, specific request, humbly written or spoken to a deity or a superior. So when we put a petition before God, we are humbly requesting that He please do this.
Yes, God.
Supplication. Ask or beg for something earnestly. I know my daughter, she feels like when we go to the store, she feels like there's things that she certainly needs that I look at on the total opposite end of the spectrum. She was in supplication. She got a gift card for Christmas, and I guess she inherited this from me, but she had $30, and $30 to a five-year-old, it will light a fire in your pocket, and you got to get rid of it, and you got to get something to show for it, even if it's something you didn't even know you wanted. But she felt like she needed this, what I call junk, but she felt like she needed it, and she's never thrown a temper tantrum that I can recall. Yes, I can, one time. She probably remembers it as well. But I do remember one time. But she was begging me for this toy, that she had something actually better at home and that I knew she wasn't going to play with. So we came to an agreement, and I didn't just tell her no, because I believe she needs to learn the value of money. But it's kind of the same thing with God when we feel like, you know what, I need this. There's a lot of times God may say, no, you don't.
Right.
And sometimes He may give you a reason why you don't, but sometimes He may just say, no, you don't. And there are sometimes, especially if you're a parent, you know there's times you just have to say, yeah, you don't need it.
Right.
The next one is prayer. Solemn request for help or expression of thanks to God. Request. Act of asking politely or formally for something. We may have to request something of God, and it may not be a need, but a want. And I believe that God will answer not only our needs, but our wants as well.
Right.
If I believe that God wants us to live comfortably.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of times when we're living uncomfortably, it's something of our own doing that wasn't according to God's will necessarily, but we decided we wanted something, and so we went after it in the wrong way.
Right.
Thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude. Watching, to look or observe attentively over a period of time, to keep under careful or protective observation. Follow closely with intent. There's times, I know the Bible says, Lord, teach me to pray. But there's times in my past and in my life that I have seen somebody that I know praise and praise fervently, can intercede and can touch God. And I watch them. Whether you feel that's right or wrong, I feel it's right. To learn that that could be an example that God has put before us to teach us to pray.
Amen.
Intercession, the act of intervening on behalf of another, action of saying or prayer for on the behalf of another person. There are certain times that we need to intercede. And I know the definition here, and there were multiple definitions, as with everything, but the definition here does describe another person. But there are certain times in each and every one of our lives that we feel the pull of the world or the struggle of life coming at us, and we need to intercede. Maybe not for another person, but for ourselves.
Right.
We see ourselves slipping, or we see ourselves faltering. We need to intercede
right in
prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is an awesome power. It's inexplicable. And I have a few examples here that in ways prayer is effective. Prayer can heal the sick. James 5 and 13 through 16. To sanctify our food. I know a lot of people make light of blessing our food. But yet, I would venture to say most of us in here, the majority, have never been hungry to a point to where our belly button has eaten our backbone.
Right.
Because we're so hungry. I know there's times that I feel like, man, I'm starving. But in all reality, there's not very many times that I've been starving. There have been times that I've been fasting, that I have been hungry. But for the most part, I knew I can go in the cupboard right now, break this fast, and I can eat.
Right.
So there should be a thankfulness for that. To unlock prisons. We all know of Paul and Silas and Peter in Acts. To cast out demons, Matthew 17. To find salvation all through the book of Acts. The power of prayer helps to find salvation. To turn back the judgment of God in Genesis and Exodus. There were many times that there were prayers put forth to change God's mind.
Right.
He had decided on a judgment for the children of Israel or for somebody else. And there was a prayer put forth to have mercy.
Right.
And God is a merciful God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
To give children to barren mothers, as in Samuel. To give rain after it is withheld. And I know that a lot of times here, they've talked about a drought. It don't look like that right now. But we don't necessarily have to pray for rain because they have all the technology to filter water and everything. But yet, we still have to pray for rain, especially in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen.
To help in time of problems. And this one is probably one that, again, is probably more at the forefront of every one of our minds. When we have a problem, we should run to God in prayer. But yet, this shouldn't be the only reason.